good morning, everybody. I hope y'all had a good week, and the Lord is good, isn't He? He's good. He's good to us here, and He's good to me personally. And I thank Him for that. But I will say, I'm glad that my relationship with the Lord doesn't end here. I appreciate that I take Him where I go. And that's a good thing, and that's a bad thing, Brother Creston, at times. Right? Better watch where we go, hadn't we? But I sure appreciate the Lord and His faithfulness to us. We're going to start chapter 5 of the book of 1 John this morning. We're coming down to the last part of this book. And hope it's been a help to you. Just a lot of practical Christian living here in this little book. But Lord willing, we'll try to deal with the first three verses this morning. And I want you to just notice sort of what I've titled this, these first three verses, is just the simplicity of this message. Simplicity of it. It says, verse number 1, John chapter 5, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. But this we know that we love, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And you know, we've been dealing with the love of God for a few weeks now, or probably for a little more than a month or so. But that's what we just ended with out there in chapter 4. But here in verse 1, he starts out and says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ." You know, it's always very important that you notice that little word "the" before something. He doesn't say that He's a Christ,
That
He's a good person, But He says that He is the Christ,
right?
"Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, today, I mean, our society, that word "Christ" does not mean a lot to people. They use it as slang. They use it as a byword. It's a cuss word. We hear the Lord's name taken in vain all the time, and people don't think twice about it. That name means nothing to them. But when you look that word up, I mean, it simply means that He is the anointed, the Messiah. There's only one of these, and it's Him. He is the Christ. He's the only help that you and I have, the only hope that you and I have. But it's real simple. But He is the Christ. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. And they say, well, that seems real simple. And it is a very simple message. See, the new birth requires really one thing. For by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
Right? The Bible teaches us that the righteousness comes by faith. Right? That's what we understand. But now faith is not just knowing who Christ is.
Right.
It's not just a knowledge, you know, but Jesse, you hit it on the head just a few minutes ago. Everybody in Jamestown knows who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
But to them, Jesus Christ is just a name.
Right.
It's just a person, just a good person, just a prophet, right? Maybe somebody who they prayed to one time that they felt got them out of harm's way.
Right?
They got in trouble, and so when they got in trouble, they called on Him, but they only wanted His help for one instance. They didn't want a life-changing experience. See, that's the difference in believing that He's just a good person that can help them for a minute, and then really taking Him for who He really is. See, there's no question when you read the Scripture that the Jews knew who He really was. The ones that got a hold of it knew what that meant. We'll look at that here in just a minute. Look with me at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I just want you to see the importance of this title that He carries. Luke Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." You notice that "the" again? You know who that's talking about? The consolation of Israel. And it says, "And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." See the importance, how particular that is. He had a promise of the Holy Ghost that he was going to see this person before he left out of this earth. And it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Have you ever laid eyes on him? I'm not talking about physical eyes, but through the eyes of faith. If you have, you've seen the salvation that he's talking about. But he is the Christ. Y'all just have to bear with me just a minute. Says a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of thy people Israel.
Yes.
Man, just what a blessing. He is the Lord's Christ.
Yep.
Look with me back at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, here we have John the Baptist in prison. It says in verse number 2, Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, he says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou?" He was specifically talking about Christ.
Yep.
He said, "Art thou he?" You notice John knew he was looking for a person, a specific person. "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again all those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preach to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." See, John understood that he was looking for someone specific. It had to be a person, a specific person that had been prophesied of to come. Matthew 16, look with me. 16, verse 16, Peter got a hold of it, didn't he? We'll start in verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see the importance. It wasn't just that he was another person, but he was the person that they had been longing for. The consolation, that Shiloh that had been promised years ago, that branch, that root, all those promises in the Old Testament, they were looking for one person to come. But that's not just it. What about John chapter 4, that woman at the well? We'll look there too. John chapter 4, verse 25. You know, Jesus has come by. You know, he said, "I must needs go through Samaria." and sits down at the well, and he has this discourse with this lady. But he comes down to verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. You notice that she was looking once again for that specific person. When he is come, she knew that there was one coming. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the man, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Right.
Seems like the message is pretty consistent, don't it? Just over and over, it's the Christ, the Christ, the Christ. See, today we've got all kinds of different Christs.
Right.
A lot of different ways, people say, but according to Scripture, there's just one. And he said, I am the way.
Amen.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But what about John 11? Folks, this just keeps going and going. John chapter 11, you know the story. Lazarus has died. Jesus didn't come till he was what people felt like was 4 days late. He'd done been dead and buried. But in verse 27, Jesus is talking to Martha. Let's go back to verse number 24. It says, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And here's her answer. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You understand how important this was to all these people? In our society, we don't have this same understanding. Right? I didn't grow up hearing about a promised Messiah that was going to come one day. But I grew up on the other side.
Oh, my God.
If you're here this morning, you grew up on the other side of that promise. It's a reality to me. It's not just somebody that I'm looking for no more, Kevin.
Right.
But I grew up on the other side of that promise, where they said, He's already been promised, He's already come, and He's already made a way for you.
Right.
And so, if you're still looking for who He is, it's the one that hung up on that cross.
Right.
That's who He's talking about, the Lord's Christ. He's already come. He's already made a way that you and I can be saved. And so I'm thankful for that. And then look one more place. Flip on over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 31. John wraps up his gospel here. He's coming to the end of it. Well, let's start in verse 30. He says, Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But verse 31, But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You say, well, it's a real simple message. Yeah, but it carries a lot of weight.
Right.
A whole lot of weight. It's not just, folks, it's not just so many professions are just this willy-nilly, oh, I believe in Jesus.
Yep.
It's not this one. They're believing in some kind of fairy tale, long-haired hippie, I mean, whatever you want to call it, that just loves and love. And thank God he does love. If you don't figure it out, he loves, but he loved at Calvary.
Right.
When he took mine and your sins,
yes,
and was judged,
yes,
of his Father. But that's how he chose to love us. And if you're gonna receive him, you're gonna receive him through that. You're gonna receive him as the Christ, the promised Messiah that was to come, the consolation of Israel. And if your soul ever gets any consolation, it'll come through him. It will come through him. But But let's look at this just a little bit more. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's a new birth is what he's talking about. Not just a fleshly birth. He dealt with that back in John chapter 3. Look with me. Look with me in John chapter 3. And hopefully you're familiar with this story that's quoted around here a lot. John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say, and this is him speaking with Nicodemus, I'm sorry. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's speaking of the natural birth and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He explains what he was saying. The water refers to being born in the flesh. The spirit refers to the new spiritual birth. It says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And if you know the rest of the story, man, Nicodemus is struggling with this. He don't understand how he can enter in the second time into his mother's womb. Jesus is trying to tell him and explain to him what this means. And it's special that Jesus took this much time to just stop where he's at and deal with this fella in his concerned condition. And he'll do the same for you. But he's given the whole Bible for us. But Jesus gets down there to verse number 14. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned.
Yes.
That's current, present, right now. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're here today and you've not been saved, if you've not trusted Christ in that only begotten Son, then you're in condemnation right now as we speak. You're condemned already. But folks, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rest in knowing that you have been, you've passed from death unto life. You've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So, folks, it's not just a knowledge of Him, but it is resting in who He is, the Lord's Christ, and His finished work at Calvary. It's who he is and the work that he completed for you and I. Nothing that you and I do. We just trust in who he is and what he came to do. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. So, folks, it's very important that we understand who Christ is. You see, in these days, you know, in these Jewish times, that required a special kind of repentance. Folks, they had to turn away from their tradition. They knew that when they trusted in Christ, they were liable to lose their family. They were liable to lose their jobs. They were liable to lose everything they had. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? I count it all but loss. It was important to these people. That was a genuine repentance that could be seen. So just by somebody in those days saying that they were trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, big deal. Big deal. Today we hear it, and most of us don't. Nowadays we hear somebody say they're saved, Kevin, and we're just like, time will tell.
Right?
It's not a big deal. In those days, somebody said they trusted Christ, you knew pretty instantly that they were willing to lose what they had for His glory. It meant something. It carried some weight. To us, it's just not the same today. But in those days, it was. But the thing is, salvation, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, still requires repentance today. Faith and repentance go together. You can't. I've heard it said this way: it's two sides of the same coin. You see, I mean, you turn to Christ, to God, from idols. Most of us, what's our idol? Ourself. Right? Giving up who we are for who He is. Giving up sin. Turning from sin. Now, you can't repent of every... You can't mention every sin. You can't ask forgiveness for every sin. You don't know every sin you've committed.
Right.
Even today, I about guarantee you, I probably won't be able to... I probably won't even realize every sin that I commit. Thank the Lord He's gracious. It's not so much repenting of the individual sin as just repenting of what you are. That's what it is. It's recognizing, taking your place as the sinner and understand that He's the Savior. And He's the only one that can help you with that. And then just resting in Him. Trusting in Him. But to be saved, folks, it requires people to recognize their need. See, that's where the hard part is today. You go knock on doors, one after another. Ask them, are you saved? Well, I believe. I believe in God. I just don't go to church. Tried that years ago, whatever. But there was no change, no life change. The Lord Jesus Christ, His name's not important to them. His ways are not important to them. His word, they don't esteem it, right? Means nothing to them. That's not the salvation you read about in this book.
Right.
It's not. He makes a new creature out of you. So there's still repentance required today. But most people just don't have an issue with it, with the name Jesus, like I said, as a good person, a great example to follow, a prophet, right? But when you tell them that He is the only way, when you tell them, Nathaniel, that no matter how good you are, it's not good enough, that's when their pride starts swelling up on the inside. I say, well, I believe I've done okay. You can't do it. And people don't like it. People think that they should be able to make their way. They ought to be able to be good enough. But Jesus made it clear He is the Christ. You're not Him. He's the anointed one. He's the way. So if you're going to get there, you'll get there through Him. And here's the big thing. It excludes all other ways. And that's what they don't like. It has to be Christ. So saying that He is the Christ means you understand that He is who He said He was. But also means that if you believe that He is the Christ, you believe that you had the need for the Christ. Right? You understand what I'm saying there? You say He is the anointed one that was appointed for our salvation, then you've got to take your place as the one that needs that. And see, that's where people fall short. So they just don't want to accept Him for who He really is. And that's why salvation really doesn't occur a lot of times in people's lives. They're not willing to really take their place and give Him His rightful place. And as I've said many, many times, the Bible said He's been made both Lord and Christ. He's both. He will be both. Or He won't be either to you personally. So I appreciate that. But look at the next verse there, or next part of the verse, latter part. It says, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. So what He's saying is that if you love the Father, guess who else you're going to automatically love? You can't love the Father and not love the Son. They're inseparable. Right? They have different manifestations. We can say it several different ways, right? Sometimes we say they're different persons. of the Trinity. Sometimes we say different parts of the Godhead. Sometimes we say different manifestations. However you want to slice that, some people will try to correct you no matter how you say that. I don't understand. I'll just be honest with you. I can't stand here and tell you I understand all of it. I can't divide them. I don't know how. I don't know how they work. I really don't. I just read about it and believe it. But you can't separate them. As far as now, you can't. And you couldn't before Calvary. But I read about one time that there was some separation that occurred. Right? Y'all agree with that? John chapter 14. Look there with me. One time in history that I'm aware of. John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm sorry. Matthew 27, 46. I looked at the wrong thing I had written down. Matthew 27, 46. We'll look at verse 45. It says, now from the sixth hour, this is talking about the crucifixion. It says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, for the first time, there was a separation that occurred. See, what happened was all the weight of mine and your sin got placed on Him. And according to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, what happened during this time? Verse 4, it says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Folks, He took it all. He took it all for you and I. And there was separation that occurred that day. But no more. Now you know where He's at, right? The Bible says now He's seated at the right hand of His Father. There'll be no more separation. They're inseparable. And the way I understand it, before Calvary, they were inseparable. Look at John 14. We're about to wrap up here. Didn't make it near as far as I meant to. John 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, I'm going to prove to you who I am by the things that I've done, by the things that I do. He said, I and my Father, the Bible, you know the Scripture, the Bible says, I and my Father are one. I'm thankful for that. I don't understand all that. I don't understand that. The Bible says God was in Christ. Right? But we're hid with Christ in God. Don't the Scripture say God was in Christ reconciling the world? That's what it says. But then it tells us that we're hid with Christ in God. God's in Christ. Christ is in God. How do you separate that? I don't know. I don't know. But there's people out there that would, right? There's several denominations. Well, I ain't going to. They're cults that would try to separate them. Say they're not. They're not one. They're separate. Some of them say Jesus is not God. Well, they're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. So, anyway, here's the thing. If you love the Father, you're going to love His Son.
That's right.
Because, according to John chapter 1, that God was the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Right? But then you go on down to about verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh. Right? Amen. Dwelled among us. We beheld His glory. Glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So, you can't separate them. Can't separate them. If you love God, guess what? You're going to love Christ. If you love Christ, you're going to love God. See, the same traits are in both. Christ was just the way that God chose to manifest Himself to you and I. I really appreciate my Bible, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And where would we be without it? Thanks for all y'all's good attention. And I'm sorry I can't do this stuff justice. I do all I know to do, Jonah. Y'all just pray for me. I'll try to do better. But we'll have prayer down the hallway. Go somewhere and you can pray. Lord knows I need to.